Amen. Well, we've been talking about the rough road to victory. And when you say that, you say, my God, that doesn't sound good. Nobody wants to travel over a rough road. Well, do you want to get to your destination?
Yes.
Well, God never promised us smooth sailing. If you read your Bible, you'll find out that Jesus said very, very clearly. He said, I'm telling you this so that in me you will have perfect peace. In the world, you will have, not you might have. He said, you will have tribulations. One translation, you'll have frustrations, distresses. He said, but be not dismayed. Take courage, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world. And the Amplified Classic Bible says, I have taken away its power to harm you. Taking it away. So just because the road to victory is rough, don't get off the road. Because if you get off the road, guess what you won't experience? A victory. See, we get excited. This is going to upset somebody's theology. We get excited because we say, God, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough, Lord. And they're breakthrough services. I did a word study. Breakthrough ain't used. I know ain't is, but I just want to say it that way. Breakthrough ain't used in the King James. I found three translations that used it. One used it once, the other used it twice. But why are we looking for a breakthrough when we've been given victory? Someone that has victory doesn't need a breakthrough. And I'll tell you something. If breakthrough was in the Bible, I don't understand, I really don't, why folks get excited because they have a breakthrough. And I'll tell you why I say that. Everybody knows, you know, when some reptiles or birds, you know, their eggs are laid, and when it's time for them to be born, they have to peck through the eggshell. Because they build up the strength that they need to carry on while they're breaking through. But once they break through, they don't just stay there with their head sticking out of the egg and never move and go anywhere. After they break through, they have to come through. And they get it. That's when all of the good stuff, that's when the excitement really starts happening, is once you come through. They don't live their lives just sticking their head up. I praise God, I broke through. Now what? No, we have victory. And we look at 1 John, not 1 John. I'll find it. John, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I think I'll read John 3 in a minute. But I saw something in here last night, and I couldn't do anything for about an hour. I ran upstairs and interrupted my wife to tell her, and went back down to family room and sat back down, and I still was racing. I'm like, okay, who can I call? I got to tell somebody. You know? So now I'm not calling Pastor Ed because it'll distract him from what God's giving him for Pennsylvania. And so I had to just kind of hold it in. I caught Elder Bill a little bit this morning. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, New King James Version, says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been reading that scripture for years. And so I started unpacking it. And I looked up victory, and victory is defined as success or triumph over an opponent. You don't get a victory fighting yourself. You have to face something in order to be victorious over it. It says it's the ultimate and decisive superiority in any battle or contest. It's a superior position achieved against any and all opponents, opposition, difficulties, etc. Doesn't matter what it is, if it comes against you, you have victory. And that in itself is, it gets the response that we got. Yeah, amen. Like, yeah, okay, we know that. But then I looked up the word gives. Gives is a transitive verb. Now, I treated English like it was my second language in school. I'm not proud. I'm humble. So I looked up transitive. And basically it means there's an action taking place that's going to change something. And I found out that gives is a transitive verb, and it means to present, listen to this, to present or deliver voluntarily something that is one's own to somebody else. Gives means that someone, not me, someone will take what's mine and give it to someone else. God said he gives us victory. So that means victory must have belonged to someone else. God gave us the victory that the devil legally had over us. He took that victory from him and he gave it to us. Think about that. So when he says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory, he took away the enemy's victory over you, over me, and gave it to us as a permanent possession. Do you know what permanent means? It can never change. That's the way it's the answer to the question, why does the sperm whale, which is one of the largest mammals known to man, have a brain about this big? Because that's the way it is. That's the way it is, folks. The victory that the devil legally obtained, say legally, yeah, when Adam sinned, God took it from him, gave it back to us. And the scripture says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get excited about that and not concern ourselves with whether or not the road to that victory is rough or smooth. All that's important is, I got it. Yeah, I used to like boxing. Believe it, it may sound strange, but it's gotten too violent. But it started out violent. I mean, fights would go on for 120 rounds. I mean, that, it started out, it was a very violent sport. But the first person of color to win a world championship was Jack Johnson. He got himself into some trouble. And rumor has it, you know, it's not been absolutely proven that, you know, there's quote-unquote strong evidence out there that he was going to go to jail for a long time for violating a law that they created. And he made a deal. He lost the championship because rather than go to jail, he left the country. He was in Cuba. So he had a fight in Cuba against Jesse Willard. And the deal was that Willard had to win, that Jack Johnson had to give up the championship. The fight was scheduled to last 40 rounds. 40 rounds. Jack Johnson beat on Jess Willard for 26 rounds, then laid down. Okay. Now, Jesse Willard said, I found this quote by him. He said, I wish he had done it sooner because I took a whole lot of heat out there. He knew if what folks have said and written is true, Jesse Willard knew he was going to win the fight. But he had to take a pounding for 26 rounds before he got the victory that had already been given to him. See, Jack Johnson, you know, they say he was defending his championship. Well, when someone tells you you're going to lose, that's not a defense. You're taking something that was his and you're giving it to someone else. But in that exchange process, there was some controversy. There was some turmoil. There was some stuff that the new recipient had to go through before he got the victory. And we have to stop getting excited. We have to stop getting anxious. We have to stop falling to pieces because something happened. And you didn't expect that it would happen to you. And as Pastor Clinton used to say, well, who did you want it to happen to? You know, I mean, God, why did this have to happen to me? Why couldn't you send it to? Oh yeah, I can't do that, right? I mean, when the doctor called me, now you know something's wrong. When a doctor calls you, you say hello, and his first words are, "I'm so sorry." It's like, I want to hang up the phone now. But he said, I'm sorry, the biopsy was positive. You have prostate cancer. Okay. I never said, God, why'd this happen to me? You know what I said? Thank you, God, that I know what to do with this. And thank you that someone didn't get this diagnosis who doesn't know what to do because this thing ain't killing me. That was that 11 years ago? 9 years ago? 2012. That's not that long ago. Seems like it. No, it wasn't 2012, 2004. Stop laughing at me. I'm processing. February 2005, that's when it was, because he said he had to get it out before the end of February. But I never complained about it to God. I knew what to do. I said, God, all right, what do you want me to do about what he just said? And my position was, if he said, go to the Hudson River, get 3 raw crabs and eat them, that's what I was going to do. I might have been glowing in the dark, but I was going to do it. Because I know I have victory. So if I have to go through something, hey, how many of you want to experience victory? Well, then I have a tough question for you. How many want a great victory? Guess what? You're going to have to go up against some great opposition. But see, God didn't say, I've given you victory in little things. He said, I have given you the victory. Period. And we have to take that and walk down this rough road until that victory that he gave us manifests. Because he said he gave it to us, we know it's going to manifest. The Bible tells us in due season we will reap. If we faint not if we don't give up. Look at Colossians 2, please. Just again, just to let you know what God did. And this is in the Voice translation. And because of the way it's written in the Voice translation, I need to start it at verse 12. It says, "You were buried with him beneath the waters of the ceremonial washing called baptism, and then were raised up with him by faith in the resurrection power of God, who brought him back from the dead. And when your flesh was still uncircumcised, dead in transgressions and swathed in its sinful nature, it was God who brought us to life with him, forgave all our sins, and eliminated the massive debt we incurred by the law that stood against us. He took it all away. He nailed it to the cross. But that's not all. He disarmed those who once ruled over us, those who had overpowered us. Like captives of war, he put them on display to the world to show his victory over them by means of the cross." You know, King James says that he spoiled principalities, made a show of them openly, and he did this voluntarily. Voluntarily. And so when we take into consideration all that God has done, why do we care what type of road we have to travel? All we need to know is where we're going. We're going to victory. And folks, don't think that because you went down a particular road and got the victory, that that's the road you're always going to be walking. You don't know. It's like going to the George Washington Bridge. One day God may say, get on the Palisades Parkway, head south, over the bridge. You have to go into New York again. So I'll just get on the Palisades. God, no, I don't want you to go that way. God, everybody knows that to take the Palisades to get to the George Washington Bridge. Now I want you to take the Garden State and go Route 17. Then get on Route 4. Go to the bridge. Like, why would I go that way? It takes longer. So I disobey God. And you get on the Palisades. And a deer runs across. And you hit it. $7,000 damages to your car. And the first words out of your mouth, God, why did this happen? He's like, I told you to take the Garden State to Route 17 to Route 4. You know? So we can't lean to our own understanding when we want to determine just how we're going to achieve this victory that God gave us. The one that gave it to you knows everything you need to do to obtain it. And we need to listen to him. But when I look up road, primarily rough road, it says it's a coarse or uneven surface. It says it may be an uninhabited region. God may send you someplace and you feel as if you're the only one. Or you may in fact be the only one. But if he sent you, then you go, knowing that the one that sent you will keep you. And this is one that we never like to realize. There may be violence along the way. You may encounter folks that don't follow the rules. But again, your focus doesn't need to be on that. Your focus needs to be on who sent you. Who is the one that gave you the instructions? Who is the one that said they gave you the victory? Who is the one that said they took victory away from those that are causing violence and not following rules and gave it to you? That's who you want to follow. The words that he utters are the only ones that should matter, because we have a permanent victory. See, one of the things that I saw when I was just, you know, searching the scriptures is that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he's the one that got the revelation that God gave us the victory because he said it. But then in 2 Corinthians, he forgot, like so many of us. I see some of your eyes like, what did he forget? Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Starting with verse 7, this is Donovan's translation, easy to read version. Said, but I must not be too proud of the wonderful things that were shown to me. So a painful problem was given to me. An angel from Satan sent to make me suffer so that I would not think I'm better than anyone else. Look what he says in verse 8. I begged the Lord three times to take this problem away from me. And then I realized Paul never had an affliction like that before. Yeah, he was, you know, he was in prison. He was, you know, stoned. He'd been beaten once. They beat him for 3 days. But God took him through those things, but now he's got this painful condition that won't seem to go away. And three times he has begged God. Bible doesn't talk about him begging God for anything before that. But now, because this thing won't go away, it doesn't seem to be responding like other things have responded. And the Bible doesn't talk about Paul doing any work for God while he was going through this condition. Why not? Because his focus was on what he was going through. See, things come at us, and they come, sometimes they come hard. And God could have just as easily said to Paul, son, you're healed, and took away that condition. But he didn't do that. He said, my grace is all you need. Now I'm thinking, wait a minute. God, I've just poured out my heart to you three times. And then you act like we act like God, you know, has memory lapse. Say, God, remember, I'm the one, your chosen vessel over here. That would be me, okay? I'm bringing the word to the Gentiles, just like you told me. Why won't you take this thing away from me? He's like, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. And then it hit me. Yes, we're going to go through stuff. But all we need to do is think about God's grace. So what'll that do? God's grace is what allows us to go through things unscathed. That's why when God said to me, speaking of our sons, he said, they're going to go through some stuff. And you're going to want to get concerned about it. Don't be concerned about it. I've got it covered. Once he said that, I was through. And stuff came. And came. And came and is still coming. I'm not rolling all over the floor. God, why is this happening to my children? I'm doing what you said. You said the fruit of my womb is blessed. I don't have a womb, but my seed is blessed. You know? I mean, like, same principle, right? I mean, no. He already told me that he's got it covered. And now, so he's given me the grace where I go through it and I don't have heartaches. And I said to him, I said, okay, you don't need my permission, but I want you to know you got it. Whatever you have to do to get them to the place where you want them, I'm in agreement with, but strengthen my heart so I can watch them go through it. And he did. And we're watching. And watching. And you say, yeah, but that's your child. Yeah, it's our children. No parent wants to see their children go through pain. But sometimes no pain, no gain is appropriate. And so whatever God has to do to get them the victory, for them to realize the victory he gave them, God's going to do. And his grace is all we need to watch them go down that road. And that grace keeps us able in the midst of it to do the things God has called us to do. See, Paul had never faced any lingering physical issues before. He was only in prison till midnight. So that wasn't a big deal. They stoned him and left him for dead. Well, after the first rock hits, you don't feel the others. You know. But this thing would not go away. And God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace will allow you to remain steadfast while I manifest the victory that I took from your adversary and gave permanently to you. Now, if you want to experience that victory, you'll receive God's grace and stay on the road. If you don't want to receive it, well, there's a choice you have to make there also. I don't understand why we give up. I guess my nature has always been not to give up. You know, I don't know if it's because I was one of 10. I really can't tell you why it is. But I never cared about the odds. I never cared about the town bully. I never cared about any of those. Because I said, even if I lose the fight, I'm getting in one punch to make him realize maybe I don't want to bother him again because he might get in two punches the next time. And then I'm in trouble. You know. And so when I think about what the enemy does, it's a logical choice for me not to give up. You know, for me, it's just logical. But I understand that everybody's not like that. But we need to understand that Jesus said that we're to always pray and not faint. In the Amplified Version, it really gets right up in your face. It says, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. We can't do that. So that means as we're on this rough road to victory, we need to be praying. We need to be praising. We need to be thanking God for the victory that we're going to achieve. See, everybody says, oh, have you ever heard yourself, I'll just say it this way, thank you, Lord. How many of you have heard yourself say, I just need to see the light at the end of the tunnel? And I just need to see the light. No, you don't. You don't. You need to know that the light's there. That's what you need. Because if you say, if I could just see, the enemy will make sure that you don't see. But if God said the light is there, that's all the proof we need. Well, how can you say that? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Some of you, the reason you're in the predicaments you're in is you're waiting to see an inkling that it's going to be okay. But God has already said it's going to be okay, and that needs to be enough. That's all the proof we need. God said it. That settles it. You have to choose where you believe it. Now, everybody say, Pastor Greg,
did not write
the book of Proverbs in the Message Bible or any other translation. Okay. And this is what Proverbs 24, verse 10 says. If you fall to pieces in the crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. If you fall to pieces, if something happens and you fall to pieces, there was no substance there to begin with. And that is what you need to address. Not the circumstance that caused you to crumble, but what's missing in you that allowed you to crumble. That's what we need to address. We don't have enough word in us, or we don't have enough understanding. And it's probably, if we want to be scripturally accurate, it's with the understanding that we're lacking. Remember the parable of the sower? If the word is sown and you don't understand it, the enemy comes and steals away that which was thrown in your heart. So it's not that you didn't hear the word. It's not that you didn't even know the word. It's that you didn't understand the word that you heard. You didn't understand how to take that out of the Bible and get it working in your life. And because you didn't understand it, the enemy came and just like a racer saying, see, this stuff doesn't work. And you're like, I thought God's word said. No, you know what God's word said. So we need to address why we fall into pieces. That there needs to be, we need to have some substance. And one of the things we need to do is it's found in Ephesians 6, where we need to put on the whole armor. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about the whole armor. I'm just going to talk to you about the gospel, having your feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. And the reason I want to talk about that is because I want to show you, give you an analogy between having your feet shod with peace and having tires on your car. Okay. Because what's the part of the car that actually touches the road? The tires. If any other part touches the road, you're in trouble. Okay. And often your ride, how comfortable your ride is, depends on how good your tires are. You know, and there are all sorts of tires out there. If you're willing to pay the price, you can get some outstanding tires for your car. If you're not willing to pay the price, you can get some retreads. They'll get you from one place to the other. Maybe. I'm serious. Maybe. Because they may hit a pothole and there's not enough substance in your tires to withstand it. Because they retreads. So why would anyone put retreads on their car? They don't think they can afford to get a good set of tires. I mean, I was in that position. We had a car, it needed tires. I mean, the tires were saying, please take me off. I'm past my useful life. You know. Stop believing I'm not going to burst and let me die. But we didn't have the money. And I was in the laundromat, and I came out of the laundromat, and there was this envelope on the sidewalk. I picked it up, and it was stuffed filled with cash. I didn't stand there and count it, but it was a lot of cash. So all these 20s. Now, I have a choice. Like, yay, Lord, you heard my prayer. Okay. Run and call a tire dealer. I'm bringing her over now. Okay. But it's like, no, this belongs to someone. And God is not going to bless me at the expense of someone else. And another person was there. He said, someone must have dropped. I said, yeah. He said, well, why don't you give it to me? I'll hold it. I said, no, that's okay. That's when you need a mirror to see. Let me see. No, it's not written on my forehead, so I don't know what he's thinking. But within seconds, a lady came running out of the store next to the laundromat with this look of terror and distress all on her face, running around and looking down. And I said, ma'am, you look like you're looking for something. She said, I had an envelope. All of my money was in there. My rent. And I said, relax. Here it is. I found it. You know. So that's, no, ma'am, you don't have to give me anything. Get in the car. God said to me, we had a credit card, and the limit was not enough for tires. God said, go to the tire dealer, get the tires, call a credit card company, tell me you have to get these tires. Okay. Called my wife, told her, called Maeve, the tire dealer, went over there, called a credit card company. Mr. Carr, how much do you need? So I just need to get the tires, you know. And I wasn't even thinking about alignment and all of that. I'm getting tires for this car. And the representative said, well, don't they have to do an alignment? I said, oh, yeah. Said, okay, well. What do you think all that's going to cost? I said, I don't know, but I'll ask them. I have told them. They said, okay, that's fine. Get your tires. Is there anything else we can help you with before I end the call? Well, you put a couple more zeros next to that number. No. But God made a way so that we could have good tires on our automobiles. And he's always kept us like that. But see, the critical part of the tires are the treads. And tread wear is dependent on how deep the treads are. Shallow treads may not keep you on the road. They need to be deep so that they can grip. When you go around sharp bends, you want your car to grip. I was talking with one of the deacons. Remember that commercial about the Goodyear, I think it was Goodyear Tiger paws. They just grip right in and keep you on the road. But see, just having good tires is not enough. They have to be properly maintained. They can't be underinflated or overinflated. Your wheels need to be properly aligned, because if your wheels are out of alignment, you can wear out your tires. See, some of you feel worn out as you're on this rough road to victory because you're off course. And you need to go back to God and find out, okay, God, I must have veered to the left or the right somewhere and do a mid-course correction. But you need to check, do you have the word in you to take this journey? The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Have we done that? That's the question. Have we done that? Do we make sure that we have the word on what God has told us to do? And we understand it clearly. Because then you'll get maximum mileage. And you won't run out of energy. Underinflated tires can cause your fuel consumption to increase. If you don't have enough word in you, you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wind up doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You'll be worrying about things that you should just be believing through them. But if you haven't put the word in you and it's not working in you, you're going to run out of energy. And you're not going to make it. And then you're going to say, it seems like just when I just can about get there, something happens. and it pushes me back. Why? Why would you let someone push you back? The idea is to press forward. The Bible says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I press. That means I'm going against resistance. And the resistance is not backing me up. If that were so, Paul would say, well, I back up. He would have said, I try to press. But he didn't say that. He said, I press toward the mark. And we have to be pressers toward the mark. But you have to know where the mark is. You certainly don't want to have overinflated tires. Bible says, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought. The Bible says, humble yourself. This is what the Bible says. See, overinflated tires, I don't know if you know this, but the air in tires can heat up. Overinflated tires may burst. Can't handle the pressure. Can't handle it. They can't handle potholes. You hit a pothole with an overinflated tire, it's going to blow. And the resulting action is not going to be pretty. It increases internal noise. When you're so full of yourself, you don't hear God speaking. You don't. Everything you hear is about you. You're overinflated. And it says it leads to irregular tread wear. Nobody knows what you're going to do. You don't even know what you're going to do. The Bible says in Romans 12:3, the Amplified Classic, it says, for by the grace, unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned to him by God. See, one of the things that happen, and that you get so confused, is that you get so puffed up that you don't even understand you. And you rip, because you think the whole world should stop because you showed up. And then it doesn't. And you're like, I don't understand. It's like, no, you're walking along the road with God. You're not him. Okay. We cannot walk around puffed up because we have position. Just because God chose to put pastor in my name, I am Pastor Gregory. Or have you walking around throwing flowers in front of my feet as I leave? No. He might as well have just put servant. Because that's who I am. And that's what I am. One of the hardest things, the hardest adjustments for me, and I still haven't adjusted, and I believe the deacon and elders will attest to it, is that they've been trained, you know, by Pastor Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, and they come in, they want to take my bag and carry my Bible. I'm like, I can do that. You know, no, please, it's our job. Let us do it. It's like, but I can do it. You know, if I were in a position where I needed help, then fine. But see, because to me, it's like, just because I'm pastor, I don't need two or three people carrying all of my belongings. Well, I just, I can't do that, folks. It's like this one, I just got to be me, the way God made me. You give us the respect that we're due as the pastors, and that's fine. That's fine. But I'm not going to get puffed up. I'm not going to think of myself more highly than I ought to. And most of the time, I don't really spend time thinking about myself. I spend time thinking about you. And what is it, God, that you want me to say to them that will help them? That's what I think about. That's what I think of. I can be watching a program, I can be watching a game. Something's going to come that's going to give me some insight on what to say to you. And it's going to become a message. I mean, I have to carry this with me, or at least my iPhone where we go, because we could be sitting at dinner. Something comes, I'm sorry, honey. this game, something happened, thinking about you. And I just write it down. But I'm not going to think of myself more highly than I ought, because I'm not going to be overinflated. See, the Bible says meditate on the word day and night. If I do that, I'll make sure that I'm always at the proper level. Okay, I won't be over, I won't be under, I'll be right where I need to be. Because he said, when I do that, I will make my way prosperous. So if I'm supposed to make my way prosperous, why am I calling on God asking him to do it? He already gave me the formula. We were talking about our granddaughter about formulas at dinner yesterday. But he gave us the formula. Meditate on the word day and night, observing to do all that's written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And if you don't do that, I don't care what else you'll do, nothing's going to happen for you. It's not going to work out. And you're going to jump off the road that God wants you to be on. He said, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. So you will receive the victory that God gave you if you stay on course. Don't deviate. Even if you know what's waiting for you, don't deviate. Tell your neighbor, don't you deviate. Paul said, he worked harder, he's been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again, 5 times, received from the Jews 39 lashes, 3 times beaten with rods, pelted with stones 3 times, shipwrecked, spent a night and day in open sea and constantly on the move, danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I mean, this is what Paul had to endure on his road. And at the end of it, he says, I have fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Despite everything he had to go through, he kept the faith. Each time he needed the victory, he got it. Because it was a given. As long as you keep going. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory. Thanks be to God who took the victory from our adversary and gave it permanently to us. So make sure your feet are shod in peace. Yes, sir. And the only way they're going to be in peace is if you don't think too highly of yourself. Because when you think that and nobody else does, you're not at peace. You're wondering what's wrong with them, and they're wondering what's wrong with you. Nobody has peace, okay? Except me, I'm going to have peace. I'm going to tell you, you got too much air in your tires. Okay. Time to deflate a little bit. Okay. See, I can talk about tires. My last name is Carr. Right? Right. So, do you understand, folks?
Yes.
Things are going to happen, but God has already taken the victory that that thing legally had over you and gave it to us. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to sit down because we have communion. But when he gave it to us, when that transfer happened, we now have power over that.
That's right.
We now have victory over that. You need to understand that. He took the victory away from it, from it, and gave it to us. He took the victory away from sickness, gave it to you. Now you have victory over the sickness. It has to listen to you because it now becomes defeated, not you. Selah. Pause and think excitedly on that. Father, we thank you. Give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the understanding of your word, Lord. Thank you for showing us how to put it into action. It's not enough that we just heard it and understood. We need to know how to put it into action. Thank you, Lord, that your word will be our gauge. And Lord, if we don't have enough, we'll obey the prompting of the Holy Ghost. If he tells us we need some more, we'll get some more. If he tells us you're getting a little full of yourself, we will deflate. We want to stay right in your range because we will have the victory that you gave us in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter to us how rough the road is along the way, we're fit for the travel. We thank you, Lord, that as we travel, because we have prepared ourselves, regardless of anything that we may face, we will always be in perfect peace. We're going to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. So we thank you, Lord. We give you the praise, we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, is there anyone here, you never received Jesus Christ as Savior? See, receiving him as Savior puts you on victory's road. You may not have known this, but you've been looking for this road your entire life. I can say that so because that's the way I was. I just didn't know what I was looking for. I knew I was looking for something, I just didn't know what it was. But see, to me, the only thing that I will shop for, spend time actually looking at, are tithes. And I never know what I'm looking for. What are you looking for? I'll know it when I see it. That's what, oh, there it is. Okay, I got it. Sometimes I'll have a color combination in mind. I said, well, do you want stripes? I don't know. He said, I don't know how to help you. Don't. Just leave me alone. Point me to the extra long, and I'll find it if it's there. But I didn't know what I was looking for, but when I saw it, when I went to that first service and I heard Pastor Clinton, I knew that this is what I'd been looking for. I knew it. And even though my intention was only to come to one service because I just wanted to impress her, so that was, you know, I get my one service in and I'm good, I thought. But that one service changed my entire life, my entire life's path, my entire life's goal, changed everything about me. And I never left. So when I get teased, you said you're only going once. I said, I did go once. I just never left once I got there. So, but it has to start with that aha moment where you said, this is what I've been looking for. So if that's who, all I want to do is help you officially get into the kingdom of God. Well, how are you going to do that? You know, do I have to die? Only to self. But it's much more simpler than that. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. It's that simple. It's got to be more than that. No, that's it. God said he desires all men to first be saved. After you're saved, then you come into the knowledge of the truth. So if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ, you don't recall ever asking him to come into your life, I need you to stand right where you are.